You're listening to Well Said, where customer success leaders share their best advice on a single topic in around 5 minutes. Today we're joined by Tanya Strauss, Director of Customer Success Strategy and Operations at ServiceNow. Previously, Tanya was the Director of Strategic Partnerships at Gainsight.
What does an excellent risk escalation process look like?
Well, I think an escalation process really needs to include quite a few things. First of all, a sense of what the risks are. I've seen a lot of companies struggle with just defining the categories of risk that they want to look into. So I think that's really the first big thing to think about is like, what kinds of risks? Where can our business go wrong? Where can we end up with trouble, right? So it could be something sort of obvious, like we have a product problem, we have, you know, customers don't like our terms, customers don't like our interface, something like that. But I've also seen a lot of organizations look into things like company level problems, right? So our customer was, you know, involved in a merger or acquisition, and so somehow we've become irrelevant or replaced. A key stakeholder, this is probably the most common thing, like a key stakeholder has left. And I think those are really important components to include when we think about our risk escalation process. I'd say the other things that are really important for a risk escalation process are to actually document what it is and make sure there's a lot of enablement and clarity around it. But I like to get a team of people together so that you can get some of that groupthink around what kinds of solutions to these things have we tried before and have worked really well. So really get into that experimentation process of, you know, is it always a question of throwing some professional services for free at the problem, or are there other solutions that we can look to? Do we have office hours, or are there product resources that we can look to? All those kinds of things. So I think it comes down to, first of all, sort of the structure of the risk escalation process itself, including the categories, the who, what, when, where of how do we know we have a real problem, and then what do we do about it? And hopefully there's some sort of committee or organization who's fluent in what the options are and what the kinds of things are that we can do. There's obviously the success plan and the working with the customer and this sort of joint agreement and communication throughout what ends up feeling like a little mini project a lot of the time. It's sort of the mini project of trust building though. So it's a really critical one. And then I'd say, yeah, the last thing would be thinking about what disposition looks like, capturing all of those lessons learned, because these are some most valuable lessons learned that we might have in a customer success practices. What did we do? How did it work? And, you know, what was the value that we got from it? So I think those are really critical pieces.
Can you talk about, in a little bit more detail, what some of the risk categories are that companies should be considering when building out this risk model?
Yeah, that's a really good question as far as the categories of risk escalation. I'm sure I'm going to miss a couple as I think through it today. I feel like the number one and sort of the most obvious is something about the product. And if we break that down a little further, it might be that there's something fundamentally wrong with the product. Maybe we don't even have product market fit, and that's going to continue to come up as a problem for us. So something sort of fundamentally from the design perspective. There's the ones that I consider sort of the easy fixes, which from an organizational perspective may not be easy, but at least if it's a product bug, we know what the problem is and we know we can fix it, or we know we should fix it. It's some of the other categories that I think can be a lot more challenging. So number one, I would say is all things product. Number two, I would say is customer experience in that large category. So I mentioned before, contract terms, pricing terms, those are all sorts of things that if they're not aligned to what customers expect, if they're not competitive, then they can lead to really big challenges and can certainly cause escalation or can certainly cause churn. So having a good handle on all things customer satisfaction, net promoter scores, all those kinds of sort of backwards looking survey kind of data pieces, but also just generally like looking inside the app at what the customer's experience looks like. What are they doing from a journey perspective? How can we make it easier? So I think those are big important pieces as well. And then another big category that I always think about is all things with the company, the organizational structure in itself, right? So if I were an investor and I were looking at investing in a company, I would want to make sure that there's some viability and all of that kind of stuff. When we're thinking about a customer as a customer, I don't think we generally want to go through and say, well, why don't you show us your financials so that we know that you're going to be around in a year and a half or something. But depending on where we are, what market segments we serve, that could certainly be a question. I think what's more likely to happen than a company not being a company anymore, though, is the stakeholder process. So people love to change companies. There's so much opportunity, particularly right now. And if we lose a key stakeholder, if we lose a decision maker, or even an adoption champion, if we lose someone who's even a critical admin, that can really make our engagement go south very, very quickly. So I think those kinds of risks are important processes to define and to think about how we want to handle them.
You talked about bringing everyone together. It sounded like you're kind of advocating for documenting tribal knowledge, right? Things that people know in their heads, but has never been written down. Is that an accurate summary of what you're trying to say for the second part of the risk escalation process?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that that's even the value proposition for, you know, technology and for original value proposition, maybe for technology like Gainsight, is wrangling all that tribal knowledge into something, some sort of usable library that we can work with. And whether it's done in technology, whether it's something that we've written down, obviously, those are all good things. But I really think that having a group of people who can sort of share that knowledge together. I love the idea of a red team, a risk escalation team, so that you have people who, first of all, there's a couple reasons why I feel this way. One is, as someone who's been in the field as a portfolio manager, customer success manager, I know that just because one customer is on fire doesn't mean the other customers I'm supporting aren't having smoke at the same time. So the bandwidth level of, as much as I might have great intentions and might love to be able to throw all of my attention toward the neediest customer, I don't necessarily have that even almost as a luxury, right? So I might need some air cover to sort of take that one off my hands or that specific scenario. Secondly, one person isn't going to know every possible solution that we could have. So I really advocate for this idea of an escalation team, so that there are people who are looking at categorizing and constantly learning from the types of risks that we have. This could be just an operations team, or it could be, you know, a cross-functional organization who's looking at, well, gosh, last time something like this came up, we brought in our chief product officer, and that person managed to figure out that there was a bug and et cetera, right? Sometimes these things start to really click, and the familiarity within that term that you use, tribal knowledge, I think is so important. But if we leave it just on the customer success professional or that frontline person, a lot of times they may not have the visibility, especially if they have a small number of really high value customers, they may not have the visibility into all the possible points of failure. And again, just having a group together to think about it is super valuable. And as someone who's been in that seat of the customer success professional, and like, gosh, problems come up and I really wish I had every answer, but I don't. And so it's nice to be able to call in that director of escalations or something like that, who says, oh yeah, you know what? I have a fund of services I can draw for you. You know, no problem is easy to solve, but at least if we can get the right resources and the right minds thinking about it, I think that's really important.
And that was well said. Every week on this podcast, you'll hear fresh ideas from some of the top leaders in customer success. So wherever you're listening right now, just go click the subscribe button and make sure you don't miss the next episode.